On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from the fabulously fluoridated Auckland capital of the island-chained slave nation of New Zealand. And it's just so fabulous that they've stopped testing for radiation on all the imports from Japan. That makes me feel like I could sleep at night, except when I have a Geiger counter next to me. My very special guest today is I just interviewed an up-and-coming comedian, and now we're actually... He's already up, comedian. His name's Gash. Welcome to the show, bro.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, backstory, the whole jazz. You got websites or nothing you want to plug?
I got my Triple O Gish fan page, which is actually my Gish page, but you find it by doing Triple O Gish, because my Double O Gish, you know, it's a personal page, and everyone goes to that one, so I've got to try and flick them all over to the other page. That's a bit of a pain in the butt skis, but, you know, it's what you do.
I don't know, we'll pop those links on the interview for you, she'll be right.
Cheer.
So how'd you get into this gig, bro?
How do I get into this gig? I started doing music school, and... in music school, we were learning songs, and then and I just decided I was wanted to put a bit of humour into my music, and so I did that, and I just started, like, I had a couple of songs up my sleeve, and then when I left music school, I kind of kept writing a little bit more. One of my friends put me in front of an originals venue, and I played a few of my songs, and they told me I was in the wrong place, I should be doing comedy, and I was like, nah, I shouldn't be doing that. But I got straight onto pop comedy, and that's pretty much what kicked me off.
Boom. Just like that, eh?
Well, not just like that. It was a little bit more of a longer scheme than that, but...
Well, what is the longer scheme? I'm keen
to
hear.
Oh, mate, it's too long to go into that story. I've told that story so many times, it just kind of caves in my head.
Well, who cares about it then? I heard you were talking to a person from the Legalised Cannabis Party just recently, Alistair.
Yeah. Yeah, he needs a little bit more stage time, I tell you. He is all right. Yeah, he wanted to get up and have a bit of a spiel on it, and funny boy. Went outside and had a smoke first before he went on the stage, and he just completely nerved himself out.
Is that a bad idea in your experience?
No, not for me, but for him.
Well, especially if you're a first-timer, eh?
I wouldn't say he's a first-timer, but, he didn't really have what it took to get his point across to the crowd, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, have you got, like, a beliefs, political views, stuff like that, that the, I don't know, media aren't exactly supportive of yourself?
Can you ask that again?
Have you got any kind of views and political aspirations, etc., that the media might not exactly be too happy with?
Well, bound to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into them, though.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but I've just kind of... made a living off of going off and interviewing all these activists and everything. Interviewed Penny Bright the other day, the lady who did the private prosecution against John Banks and got him convicted for corruption.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was just thinking, that's freaking great. Because corruption's my bag, baby. I freaking don't like it, eh? Kind of like an Austin Powers sense of the word.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, moving on. What do you? I hear you're kind of getting around there, and I think you've played some big halls and stuff, haven't you, for the comedy festivals?
Oh well, yeah.
Like, was that you with the two string guitar and the shaggy hair and the New Zealand Comedy Festival big theatre full of people?
No.
No.
No. I've never played a two string guitar.
How many strings was it?
I've always had all the strings on my guitar.
Oh, nice, nice. Sorry, might have been my mistake.
Maybe even extra ones in some cases.
Oh, reels.
Yeah.
Okay,
I can play a 12-string guitar, so...
You can play a 12-string guitar?
Yeah.
I didn't even know they were...
A couple over here and a couple in Aussie.
Jeez, I didn't even know they existed, bro.
You need to get out more often, bro.
Sounds like it. Because, I mean, me and my mate, we've been playing music a little bit recently, and I'm just kind of amazed by the acoustic flamenco guitar at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that really fast finger-picking stuff.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah, is that a bit of you, is it?
Oh, yeah. Well, it just seems like it takes a lot of skill and it's really, really hard, so it's kind of one of those things that I'd never really attempt to do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, chuck it in the too hard basket sort of thing. Other people have skills like that. I don't.
Yeah. That's right.
How long have you been playing the guitar?
I picked it up when I was 15.
Shoot, boy. How old are you now? If it's not a personal question.
I'm in my 40s.
Oh, okay.
Let's go 41, roundabout.
You know, you must be real good right now. How many hours a day you practice?
Hardly any.
Oh, yeah. I think that's about it when you're around with the mates and stuff.
Yeah, I got myself to a point where I was happy with my skills and I didn't really attempt it anymore because there's so many good guitarists around, they can actually put you off a bit.
Yeah, it's not like worth competing.
I've got my crack in the industry, so I just follow that, you know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, dude, you know, you've found your own style, which very few other people have actually got. And you've managed to make a career out of it.
Yeah.
Can't fault you.
Sure.
Who the hell could?
Oh, lots of people.
Well, bugger them.
Yeah, bugger them.
Yeah, at the end of the day. It's like, oh, you're not got a slave job and a slave, getting in the slave traffic. Oh, what an idiot. It's like, dude, yeah, I'm living my own life the way and expressing myself in the way I choose fit. And yep. I'm actually making a living off it, and I'm surviving. And I don't have to do what other people tell me to do in a lot more ways than most people have. That freedom.
Yeah, but I've still got to listen to this shit.
Yeah. Do you?
I don't know how to say that word.
Go for your life, mate. You can say whatever you want.
Sure.
Yeah. Because I
don't
want
to keep my shit to myself then.
Well, I don't know about you, but I really hate those kind of regulations where you can't actually say what you want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
A little bit too much of that. Ever since frickin' high school.
Hey?
Ever since frickin' high school, primary school, whatever. There's all these sort of things that we can't say.
Yeah.
Yeah. We say them all the time anyway, and we think them, so what's the difference?
Yeah. I'm not too sure. Is this an interview or a conversation?
It's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B.
Ah, okay. Sure.
I've just been going for like 5 years. Basically, I bring a person on and they get to say whatever they want to say.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
Sure. It's just kind of like two people like meet at a cafe, have a coffee and have a convo. Just 2,000
people,
listening.
I don't meet people at cafes. Have you seen my look?
is it like a... What would I hear somebody describe it as? It was like a Māori cousin it. Was that about right?
A what?
A Māori cousin it. Like, have you ever seen the Addams Family?
A Māori cousin it.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll run with that.
Totally fuzzy, totally Māori.
Yeah.
About right, I thought. So what's the problem with cafes then?
With cafes?
Yeah.
I don't know, you're going into a league out of my conversation, bro, or conversation out of my league, more like.
Well, take it back into something that's more your style, mate. You've got the platform.
Well, I was more thinking of if I could just answer some questions a little bit more, rather than kind of delving into my own life and talking about crap that probably people don't want to hear.
Well, here's the thing. That's what every other interviewer does. Whereas what I want to hear is what all the other interviewers never get to hear.
Yeah, I'm not good at talking about myself, really.
Bit anti-narcissistic, eh?
Aye?
Bit of an anti-narcissistic bloke.
You're
not in love with yourself?
No, shit, no.
A lot of people like that in so many of the entertainment industries, I've found. Have you seen that kind of I'm so full of myself, totally dishonest swagger about people in the industry?
Yeah, totally. Well, I'm not going to name anyone.
Well, no, not name anybody, but let's think of it as a symptom. And it's not just really in that industry, it's in a whole lot of other industries. It's like these really dishonest, yep, really nasty people who just steal other people's ideas and get their way up there. And what occurs to me now, and this is kind of what I want to ask you about, do you feel that that happens in comedy more often than not, that some of the really great comedians get kind of like maybe shafted or ideas stolen or something of that nature, and they get really depressed about it, and they don't really go any further, like they almost drop out to a degree? And,
what, because they've had their stuff stolen?
Yeah.
Nah, it doesn't happen that way. If people are getting their stuff stolen, they go and see the person that's stealing their stuff and they have them out with it. Whereas I don't get my stuff stolen because, I do songs and stuff, and you got to be able to play the guitar reasonably well, for starters. And I've had one person from Aussie. He came over and he did, I do this Kevin set, and I have about five Kevin songs in amongst it, maybe even seven or eight that add to it. But he pulled out of the five, out of the Kevin songs that I did, he named every single one of them and just said, you know, what if you just changed the word Kevin to heaven? You know, it was knock, knocking on Kevin's door, and it was all the punchlines to all the songs that I'd done, and he did them all in order. And my now manager turned around and goes, do you recognize that? And I was like, hell yes I do, but he does it really badly. So that was only one case in my scenario where I've had, something of mine that was attempted to be stolen, but he did such a bad job, it wasn't even worth hitting him up about it.
He was like his own worst enemy, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, the worst thing he could have done. Hey, there's a word somebody called me, and I think it also applies to you too. The word means can't be imitated, inimitable.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you feel that having an original style sort of makes it difficult to get across to audiences, or is your style just sort of like straight on through? It's totally original, and yet everybody gets it.
Yeah, pretty much that.
How long did it take you to really derive that? Were there people encouraging you or discouraging you from this course in your life?
As soon as I wrote my first couple of little songs in school, people were like wanting me to play them straight away. So as soon as I was picking up other songs, and like people were quite happy to hear them for me. But it's the parodies that I actually tried to stay away with to start off with, because I always thought the parodies were too easy, and they're cheesy and shit. But I thought that, once I did one or two, they came really easy, and like they were getting a good laugh. So I thought, well, yeah, okay, they might be cheesy and bad depending on where you do them. But I was, the way I was managing to get them out, people were where people would normally find musical comedy bad, that, done out of bad taste or something. A lot of people were taking my stuff on, rather than pushing it to the side. So it was that was kind of nice. The difference between good comedy and bad comedy, I suppose. And just the way that the guitar is played in the background helps, I suppose, too. And maybe not singing out of tune.
A
combination of the lot, you know?
Yeah. It's a good combination of factors, like any good cake.
Sure.
And I was just thinking as well, in terms of that, are you familiar much with Bill Hicks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was just listening to his old recording, Arizona Bay, that he recorded back in the early 90s in England. And there was all this music in the background, all this guitar and songs that came in these intros and outros. And I watched a documentary later and found out that it was him doing all that music.
Yeah.
And I never knew that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah. Well, you see, I found comics. There's one person told me he used to be a doctor subcontracting to the NSA. And he told me that the two most intelligent peoples, you know, groups of people, professions in terms of the like, are theoretical physicists and comedians for the same reason that they're capable of taking complex equations and ideas, simplifying them to the point where they're comprehensible to people.
All right.
And I think that's what comedy has brought to our lives, is an ability to understand things a little bit deeper and be able to laugh about it and just deal with how crap things are sometimes.
Yeah. Totally.
Have you ever changed anybody's life, like actually given them some sort of an awakening experience? They've come up to you and just go, "Oh, bro, that totally reminded me of this," and changed
my life. I'm sure I have, but like I haven't gone back to check with those people. See, you know, if it has made a difference. But yeah, I've had people come up to me and say it, whether it has or not is a different story.
Well, there might be some kind of a ripple effect.
Yeah. Possibly. Hey, am I able to, do you have any questions for a friend of mine? Because I need to go to the toilet really badly.
Absolutely, go
for it. But I can't drag you to the toilet, would be safe.
Go for your life, son.
I'm putting it on to my mate Colin, he's a skydiver down here in Queenstown, sure.
No kidding.
Awesome. Cheers, mate.
Yeah. Yes, go ladies on, and gentlemen, the musical intro, while we wait for Gish to take a wiki leak. And now we have the skydiving master, Colin. Welcome to the show.
G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm somewhat fabulous. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Day off down here. She's finally snowing on the mountain, so no skydiving for us today, but good for the skiers and snowboarders anyway.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I'm in Auckland where it's sunny.
Oh, mate, I'd rather be where it's sunny, trust me.
Now, considering skydiving, that's kind of like an extreme thing, and I saw an article on Facebook the other day talking about the huge amount of deaths in the New Zealand tourism industry. Not necessarily saying that skydiving is one of them, but
yep,
we've actually got quite a dangerous environment for tourists in this country, and people don't realise.
Yeah, big differ. Being in the industry, seeing it from the other side, it's quite stringent and safe, to be honest. Obviously, there is a high volume of tourists coming here, and New Zealand is seen, and particularly Queenstown is seen as the adventure capital of the world. So that we have like a concentrated group of people coming to this country specifically just to do these activities, and saving up the activities to do them all in New Zealand. So of course, per capita, we have obviously a lot more people exposing themselves to risks, because let's face it, any kind of adventure activity is risk involved, and that's why you do it, because you get adrenaline from risk and it's fun. So
I was curious as to whether or not they were including hiking and things of that nature in those statistics, because there's shockingly large amounts of people going. There's news stories every year about people going missing on the mountains and never come down.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm only familiar with the adventure sort of adrenaline related activities that I sort of participate in. But it's so safe. Like skydiving these days, it's not like back with the old round parachutes and stuff. It's so safe that it's you're at more risk on your way to the skydiving operation in the van or driving there rather than when you're actually jumping out of the plane. That's the safest part of your journey.
And I found that incidents like this, they sort of do get blown out of proportion by the media. Like,
oh, of course.
Wasn't there some plane that crashed in a field before taking off the other last year or the year before?
Yeah, that was 3 years ago now. That was on the West Coast, Fox Glacier. But yeah, that's really the only sort of the major skydiving incident. You know, obviously unfortunate, but planes taking off, planes crash every day. Regardless of what they're being used for, it was just unfortunate that one was for skydivers and the media jumps on it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like it's the exciting news story
exactly.
of the day. If it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah, you know, the news is just always the stuff that, you know, we're quite vicarious as humans, so they give us what we want to see on the news to capture your attention, you know?
I completely agree. I think there's the difficulty here is being able to watch the news anymore and actually take it seriously, you know?
Yeah, it's like grab all the shock sort of headlines and run, you know, make a story out of nothing.
Well, see, I'm sick of waiting for the next big thing, you know?
Yeah.
Frack that anxiety. I mean, that's why I don't watch the news anymore. I mean, because the anxiety will kill you faster than the events that are covered on the news ever could.
Oh, of course, you know, you turn TV on at 6 o'clock and it's just, you know, war, AIDS, salmon, death, depression, recession. You look outside and it's just sun shining and birds tweeting in the trees, mate. So that's Bill Hicks, by the way. I didn't make that up. But, you know, you just live your own life, mate. You may as well go and have fun while you're here and not sit in front of the TV watching all the bad stuff that's happening in other parts of the world.
Yeah, well, I think it's like because we sit there in this constant state of, oh my God, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. We're like constantly on edge. We've got our adrenaline going the whole time. You should save your adrenaline stores for things like skydiving, people.
Exactly, yeah. Turn the TV off and get outside, mate. It's my 2 cents, mate. I'll pass you back over to Gish.
Okay, all right.
Cheers. How's it going, mate?
It's going pretty sweet. You had quite a good conversation with old Colin there.
Yeah, I heard you got out a lot about his life.
Well, you know, it's kind of what I do. I'm like the priest of talk radio. But it's a terrible world anyway. Now, speaking of which, in the realm of professional comedy, criticism. Have you noticed that you're almost above it when you're on stage? Like, if you talk in the political sphere about sex, race, ethnicity, or politics and things of that nature, you get chastised, you get one group or the other coming after you and tearing seven colours of crap out of you.
Yeah.
What about if you do it on stage? You just get people laughing.
Yeah, no, it's not always like that. I've had Māori... guys, girls, nanas, grandfathers come up to me and tell me that I'm way out of my league with the comedy I'm doing, so I shouldn't be doing that because it's racist and shit. And it's like, well, it's nothing about the racism that I do it for. It's the stereotypical way that people look at me and the way that I... You know, stereotypically, just give it back to them. They have a laugh out of it, so I take it to stage, and then there's the people that get a little bit righteously conscious, and they get up and they have a big, you know, stir up a big fuss about it. I've had to stop my show plenty of times for a couple of people like that, you know.
Oversensitive?
Oh.
What do you think they've got a point?
But righteous about their, you know, their beliefs.
Well, I found it's when people get offended like that, it's an emotional reaction, and there ain't actually a whole lot of thinking involved.
No, it's just, too serious.
Why does somebody who's too serious go to a comedy show?
Well, because, they think everything's going to be a joke. Everything's a joke, but, like, they don't... When you start hitting on things that are true to life, that you want to, you know... make a joke, that's when they get all fucking serious about it. And it's not actually because
What, do you reckon they're taking it personally? Like, here you are, bro,
you know. Yeah, you know, they've probably been sitting at home with their grandfather and their grandmother or something going on about their land rights and stuff, and they've got it in their head that they're, you know, that they've been missing out all their life, and then so you start taking the piss out of it, and then they'll jump up on their, you know, they will literally jump up and stand in the middle of the floor and go, "You guys are all blah, blah, blah," which I have had before. And I've had people stop, you know, just sit in the show and say, "Oh, nah, I've got to come up there and smack you over if you, you know, anything like that," and then they won't leave the bar, so I've had to just, you know, just wait for them to leave, which they won't. That's, yeah.
Sweet mercy.
Yeah, no, there's some people out there that can't handle it, for sure.
What, you ever had bottles thrown at you or not?
No, I haven't quite had a bottle thrown at me.
Whew. Thank God for that, son.
But I have, you know, there has been the odd nasty comment that has come back to the stage, like people have wanted to rip my throat out.
Well, as long as they don't, you know, you can keep singing songs that piss them off.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not the sort of person that likes to go around pissing people off, you know.
Yeah, I'm just making lemonade out of lemons here. You know. It could be worse. Gish, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you search him up on Facebook, it's O-O-O Gish. That's G-I-S-H, like a giant fish. It's Gish.
That's the one.
Mm-hmm. And if you check out his comedy on, I think there might be some of his stuff on YouTube and stuff. It's pretty freaking funny.
Thanks, man.
But as again, two best pieces of advice that I've ever been given in my life. By the editor of the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, no less. Number one, don't take yourself too seriously. Number two, don't take what other people say about you personally.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and thank you, Gish.
Cheers,
and we'll be right back.